So, according to Jain conception, Krishna is still living in hell. Is this true? Actually, you see, Jainism and Buddhism, these two religions emerged in India as a result of the exploitative caste Brahmanas who were monopolizing all power and privilege and neglecting the lower castes. There are many reasons, but this was the main reason. And that the Jainism and Buddhism, they attracted a lot of people, especially from the lower castes. And later on, they spread also very rapidly. Now, because the Vedic culture at that time was so prominent, so Jainism and Buddhism, they wanted to be ideologically autonomous. But still, most of the people who became Jains and Buddhists, they were coming from a culture that was very deeply steeped in Vedic imagery. And that is why originally these religions were meant to serve a particular purpose of elevating people to basic good living, moral living. And in general, if you see, Buddha himself did not talk much about ideology, and Mahavira and the other Tirthankaras also, they did not talk about much philosophy. Their focus was primarily on living in the mode of goodness, live properly. And the subsequent thinkers within those traditions, they came up with various ideological interpretations of the teachings of their founders. So what they tried to do is, in these religions, because they wanted ideological autonomy and the followers were still steeped in the imagery coming from the Vedic culture, they often retold in a fictional way the stories which were known to those followers. So, for example, there's a Jain Ramayana. And the Jain Ramayana, what happens is, this basic storyline is more or less similar, but throughout his forest stay, Ram keeps meeting Jain sages. And he gets good advice from the Jain sages. And at the end, when Sita is taken by the earth, at that time, Ram becomes enlightened and becomes a Jain. So this is basically a fictionalized retelling of the Ramayana, which was done by later Jain thinkers to try to subordinate a person who was very popular within the people at that time to say that he was also a Jain. So this is actually Christians also did this. This is, for example, what Christians did is, when Christianity came from the Middle East to Europe, to Greek. Now, Greece was a place of learning. And there, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, these were big philosophers. As compared to that, the Christian theology, the teachings of the New Testament were very simplistic. So, St. Augustine and others, they integrated the two, Greek philosophy with biblical theology. But then, how could they take Greek theology? Because Jesus had not taught that. So, St. Augustine and other Christian teachers, they posthumously appropriated Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle as pre-Christ Christians. Pre-Christ Christians. They were not Christians actually, but they appropriated him like that. So, in general, when a religion wants to spread, quite often they try to appropriate the pre-existing imagery that is there into their own storyline. So, like that, in the Jain spin that was given to the Mahabharata, the idea is that some of the activities that Krishna did in the Mahabharata, they, from a moral perspective, appear to be wrong. Now, in an earlier class, I discussed about how morality is not just contextual, morality is not categorical, it is contextual. What is right and what is wrong will vary according to time, place, circumstance. And Krishna did not act immorally. What Krishna acted was actually according to higher principle of dharma in those situations. But because Krishna acted immorally, so some later people in the Jain tradition, they spun the Ramayana around and they said that because he acted immorally, so he has to go to hell. But this is a completely fictionalized rendition of the Mahabharata. And actually, Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he eternally resides in the spiritual world, and periodically he descends to the world in various forms to elevate people.